to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to, hey, you get more Gopher Gridiron Radio in May. Luke, look at us actually trying to keep the feed active.
We said we were going to try, and I think so far we're doing a pretty good job. I mean, summer is really kind of here. Some sort of amazes is happening. And the real question is, can we keep it up? We're going to do the best, but Ryan, there's a reason we're actually here today.
It's because there is a new home field collection coming out, and boy, Luke, am I excited.
I know you're excited. Once again, Home Field, you know, who sponsored a couple episodes, came back and said, hey, Gopher Gridiron Radio, your listeners are awesome, and we need you to talk to them about our new collection that we'll be launching on Saturday at 10 a.m. So if you're asking, well, I'm listening to this, what Saturday is this? Well, let me tell you, it is actually Saturday the 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It will be launching. Minnesota is getting their first ever long sleeve offering, new fleece, joggers, ringer tees, child sizes, and more. And always, Ryan, Gopher Gridiron Radio members can save 10% on their order using the code GGR.
That is the initials of Gopher Gridiron Radio. In case you were wondering, that is code GGR at checkout. That is G as in Gopher twice, and then radio at the end for 10% off. As Luke said, the designs are going to sell out. It's not if, but when. So Saturday, 9 a.m., brand new home field apparel. Again, I got plenty of it from the last time, and I know that my lovely wife now loves to rock it, and she gets compliments, and then she's like, do people not know about this stuff? And I'm like, well, it's limited time stuff. So if you're looking for some new Gopher apparel, check it out Saturday morning, 9 a.m. It'll be all over social media. Check out my Twitter, Home Field Apparel's Twitter. Like I said, Minnesota will be getting new long sleeve, new fleece, joggers, ringer tees, children's sizes, and more, Luke.
Yep, and it'll be good. And I think that code's probably even good for other schools. So for some reason, you know, you wanted to get a gift for someone else, yeah, go ahead. You know, get your in-laws or your family members, you know, some Washington Husky apparel, whatever you need to do. But, you know, focus on that Gopher apparel most importantly. So, Ryan, but we do need to chat here. We do have a special episode. You got a chance, and you were able to pin down Daniel House again, and you were able to record an episode with him. First of all, like, how were you able to do that? Because that man is usually behind the Gopher Guru paywall only, but you've now gotten him twice on an episode.
Well, other than the definite blackmail I have on him behind the scenes, which you'll be able to hear about some of the bets I've won over him here recently in terms of why he's got to be able to make himself have another appearance on the podcast. We talked a ton of recruiting. Again, I know this is usually one of the most listened to episodes each and every year. House and I go through the portal. What is taken away? What does Minnesota have? Because the 85 scholarships is all but about done. But I still think there will be some more recruiting news here in the next 72, 96 hours. And as always, check out GopherIllustrated.com. $1 to join. Folks, I give you a ton of recruiting insight in this episode. If you enjoy it, support what I do at Gopher Illustrated. Like I said, it's $1 to join, or it's always 30% off an annual. And as always, Paramount Plus after that first month is included if you do the $1. And why is that important? Because Big Ten football games are likely going to be streamed on that, if not this fall, next fall. So if you want a way to watch your favorite Golden Gopher football team or even the Gopher basketball team amongst other Big Ten activities, you're going to likely need Paramount Plus. So it's included in every 24/7 subscription. So if you haven't already, I'd highly suggest you joining today.
And once again, for those that, you know, hate the fact that I occasionally join on these recruiting episodes, I'm not actually joining because this is just more talking time for Ryan and Daniel. And let's be honest, Daniel House is much more suited to talk recruiting than I am. But I am once again proud to make sure that there is Ginger representation in the conversation. So he is my compadre there. So I've been excited to listen to this, Ryan. It's always a great conversation between the two of you. It's very nerdy. So if you're not looking for the real deep stuff, you know, this is about the time you're probably going to want to turn off the episode. But it is really, really good conversation.
And the beautiful part is, if you're not into this, well, Luke and I are going to have another episode coming this week talking about the first edition of Vegas over-under lines for the Big Ten West. Shockingly, Wisconsin is heavily favored for the fourth straight year. And Luke, did you know what happened the last 3 years when Wisconsin was heavily favored? Did they win the West?
No, they didn't.
Any of those three seasons?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
And so, spoiler, I think you know where my mind is going to be for that next episode. But without further ado, I want to thank the people at Homefield Apparel again. 10% off your purchase this weekend. Code GGR at checkout. Let's get into me and Daniel House talking all things Gopher football recruiting. All right, so joining me this week, I know you're all surprised we get another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio out in a timely fashion, but thanks to the people at Homefield, we're going to be able to do a couple more podcasts. So this is your recruiting edition. There's been a lot of different things that have been going on in Gopher recruiting. I'll hint at it now. I still think there's more fireworks yet to come here, probably in the next 72 hours. And as we're recording this, I think it's Wednesday, so if you want to know more, either go to gopherillustrated.com and join where it's a dollar, or you can go to gophersguru.com where we get to have a double edition of Daniel House. 2 months in a row, we get House on the podcast. So joining me to talk all things Gopher football recruiting in May is Mr. House. House, how are we doing today?
May fireworks, baby. That's what we like. Lots of portal, lots of recruiting, keeping us nice and busy.
Well, I also think we should get into, to start, the NFL draft bets that you and I had that I think you went 0-2 on now as it's May 10th, House. What's going on?
What a unique situation with Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Cook. I still don't think they'll be here, but
so for those of you trying to figure out what Daniel House and I bet on during the 55-minute waits from the end of practice until when PJ Fleck would come talk to us, I get bored, and so I like to make some gentlemen's agreements between myself and other members of the Gopher football media. And Daniel House knows more about the NFL draft more than anybody I know. And so I like to pick his brain, see what he's got strong opinions on, and then take the other side to play devil's advocate. And so our first bet was Hendon Hooker, the Tennessee quarterback, going over under pick 20. House took, I think, under pick 20, and he ended up going in the third round, I believe, somehow, House, which
age matters in the NFL's eyes. Age matters.
And then the other one was, I asked him, what do you think about Dalvin Cook and Za'Darius Smith? I'm a casual Vikings fan. My mother is the biggest Vikings fan I've ever known in my entire life. So I was
really?
Like, yeah, she is. She's the big football nut, actually, in my family. My dad played D2 football, but my mom's the giant football nut of the two of them, actually. So
that's awesome.
I go, House, do you think both are on the roster on May 1st? And he goes, no, they're going to be traded. I go, okay, well, I'll take the other side. And as we sit here on May 10th, Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Cook are still under contract for the Minnesota Vikings, House.
It's the weirdest thing. I am shocked. But I found out about how it worked with draft compensation during the draft. They couldn't be traded just because of the logistics of having to rework the contract, and so they would have only gotten 2024 picks, and so we'll see if they get moved in the next few weeks here.
Well, I will also give you credit in terms of, I asked you, where do you think John Michael Schmitz goes, and the number one place Daniel House said was the New York Football Giants. And
perfect
where does
spot.
He go on the 57th pick of the 2023 NFL draft to Danny Dimes? How do you think the fit? I mean, you were very confident there. Was it just that they needed a center, or what kind of got you down the New York Giants route?
Well, I thought it was a good fit scheme wise because they're probably the second most diverse blocking scheme in the NFL behind Detroit. They'll give you so many different styles. They'll use the zone schemes, but they're also a gap principle squad too. And John Michael can handle both of those things. And Gates and Feliciano both left this offseason, so they desperately needed a starting center. And they get John Michael Schmitz at 57, which I thought was a bargain. And maybe they considered picking him even earlier than that, but the board shaked out the way it did just because of how teams value interior O-line play, especially with early picks. But that was a perfect destination for him. I actually thought all the Gopher players ended up in good spots where the depth chart shakes out well, the scheme fits good. So, you know, it was a good draft for those guys.
Did you have on your score sheet Jordan Howden going before tee time?
I'm not surprised considering the landscape of the safety class this year. And he ended up in Dennis Allen's scheme where they ask their safeties to do a lot of different things. You got to be versatile to play in that defense. They use two man under, two high, cover one, mixing things up. So they need a smart safety. They blend in some quarter stuff too. They're very diverse with their coverage schemes. So having a smart safety who is good in coverage and can do a lot of different things mentally from the back end is critical. And he's got experience on special teams as well, which is huge. So based on how the safety class looked this year, I thought Howden would maybe go earlier than maybe they were initially anticipating.
And then you said, again, you know more about – there's only a handful of people, and probably like two people I know that know defensive schemes in the NFL. Why is Terrell Smith a good fit for the Chicago Bears corner room?
Yeah, I like Chicago just because they run a zone-based defense, lots of cover two and cover three, dashing in some man with Allen Williams, and they mix in some sim pressures, some creepers, things that they do defensively here at Minnesota that will help him mentally adjust well. And the depth chart is solid there. I mean, he's going into a situation where they picked Tyreek Stevenson earlier, and then there's just going to be some competition with some existing guys. I see him potentially being the third or fourth cornerback based on the Bears' current depth chart. So they, you know, you look at a guy like Kyler Gordon, he sometimes pops into the slot. So I could see a situation where he maybe gets some more slot snaps and tee time, get some rotational action on the outside. That's a team that needed cornerbacks bad, and the scheme is a solid fit. So Smith ending up in Chicago is good for him too.
Last one I want to ask you about is Muhammad Ibrahim doesn't get drafted. I think it's just the current landscape of the NFL and running backs. It's the current landscape of Mo's short. Mo's not going to test well, but he's obviously one of the greatest running backs to ever don a Gopher uniform. So when you look at his fit in the Detroit offense, how do you see it?
Yeah, it's funny because I spent a lot of time studying Detroit's rushing scheme this offseason because they're one of the most creative teams right now. Everybody's playing this gap and a half defense with lighter boxes. So they've started to counter that by mixing things up and running some more power concepts into it and running the football downhill. So you think about Mo and his vision, ability to feel blocks, run downhill, yards after contact, contact balance, all those different things. It fits well with what they're trying to do in Detroit. I mean, you think about Dan Campbell, the style of coach he is and his mentality, and Mo's rushing style as well. It fits very well together. And, you know, you look at what they did trading DeAndre Swift, and then now they'll have Jahmyr Gibbs with David Montgomery, who David Montgomery's had a history of injuries as well. So one injury to Montgomery and Mo's RB2. And they definitely made him a priority with the contract that they offered him with the guaranteed money. So ended up in a good scheme and situation like a large majority of the Gophers undrafted free agents too.
Well, I was about to say Mo got, I think, six figures guaranteed to sign with the Lions. And then Thomas Rush, your guy, got arguably one of the biggest UDFA deals that I've seen public. He got 175,000 guaranteed. Now, why that's important is house. I think most seventh round picks don't even have that much guaranteed, do they?
Yeah. He got a very lucrative guarantee when you look at what teams typically give out for contracts to undrafted free agents. But, you know, Vrabel got a taste of Dr. Gibby last year and felt like some of the things that they do defensively will help Thomas Rush fit in well. And he's versatile, could kick off ball, play the edge, come in as a sub package player on passing downs. And he's very athletic. You know, I was saying for a while, like, you know, he could really do anything for you. Go over on the other side of the ball, be a fullback. Like, there's so many different things to do with his athletic ability. So I see him being a nice sub-package player with the Titans and Vrabel.
All right. Well, that'll conclude today's NFL draft talk until next year, where we get to talk about where Tyler Newbin, where Brevin Spanford, and we'll see.
Justin Wally?
No, he needs to come back. So does Ariante Ursary. So, I mean, so does so many of these guys. I said on Gopher Illustrated, I think this past week, that I think that 2025 class, if it could be one of the potentially in terms of 2025 class in terms of the 2025 draft is what I'm talking about. With you'll have guys that'll be out of eligibility by then will be Daniel Jackson, Elijah Spencer. He'd be looking at guys like Justin Wally, Ariante Ursary, Quinn Carroll, Cody Lindenberg, you know, and we'll kind of go from there. But I think that kind of just speaks to how good of a, I think the program is in terms of, I think next year you will for sure get two, and then we'll see what Sean Tyler and potentially Corey Crooms can do, and maybe Chris Ottman-Bell there. But that kind of leads us into, there's been a lot of transition, and I know the number one thing I get from casual fans is, how do you keep track of it all? Where is this team at now with the transfer portal window essentially closing it as we record this? I think there's about one spot left open, and it's at corner for Minnesota, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But largely, the roster is set now. The portal is closed for everybody that is not a graduate transfer. And so what I wanted to do is get House on here to go to position kind of by position in terms of where things are at. So let's start at quarterback, where Ethan Kaliak-Manis is your starter. You look at a guy like Cole Kramer, who I think had one of the best springs, and we talked about it in the last episode. He is a viable number two, and then it's Drew Vioto, because Tanner Morgan has graduated and is now with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a UDFA contract, and Jacob Knuth elected to hit the transfer portal, and he is still searching for a new home. So as you kind of evaluate where you think quarterback is at right now heading into the fall, where do you see it, House?
Yeah, quarterback is positioned well, one and two. We talked about it last time, Cole Kramer, the improvement that he made, and then Ethan being able to do some things that fit his skill set well. I'm fascinated to watch the offensive scheme this year just to see how they craft it with the personnel that they have in the receiver room. There are a lot of options to do some things in the running back room. The style of it's different than in the past. So, and the things that Ethan can do, throwing the ball into tight windows, stretching downfield, give you some mobility in the quarterback run game potentially. We talked about using screens more. So, like, there are just so many ways that Minnesota can shift this offense potentially around what they do well, and the identity could be different just based on the personnel that they have available. So I feel like they're in a good spot with Ethan and Cole at one and two, just because they have options.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now we'll see where the roster's at in 6 months after the season, but I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Minnesota try to go get a transfer quarterback, because while Cole Kramer could come back, he has another year of eligibility. I think if you put a gun to my head right now, I don't know that he elects to use that final year of eligibility to be a backup quarterback for Ethan Kaliak-Manis. And if that's the case, whoever the 2024 quarterback is in the high school class, which I think we're getting very close to knowing who that is going to be after Aaron Filo decommitted. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them kind of look at the portal in terms of at the quarterback position after the season, because there's going to be plenty of names out there, and Minnesota is trying to kind of revamp that room there as well, which will kind of lead us into running back, where Muhammad Ibrahim, we'd mentioned him, he's now a Detroit Lion. We talked about in the last podcast as well that Treyson Potts is now at Penn State University, which I still think is going to be an interesting fit to kind of see how that goes there, considering he's probably going to be the number three running back there. I'd be surprised if he can surpass the two talented young guys ahead of him, but it's going to be a lot different in that running back room. You know, with Sean Tyler is going to be your number one, and then what? And that's where, House, we finally got to see in the spring game that it's going to be it's going to be Zach Evans and it's going to be Darius Taylor there, at least this fall.
Yeah, Zach Evans, I was very high on him in the recruiting class when they landed him, because he has that distinct ability to make second and third level defenders miss in space. Making that first defender miss is such a critical component of what Minnesota does. And when you look at the numbers, making defenders miss is so important in the running game. And Zach Evans has shown he can do that. Darius Taylor, I liked his physical rushing style. Yep. He got downhill on a couple of runs, and he exceeded my expectations when he was finishing runs at the spring game off field level right in front of me. The Gophers have young talent in the running back room that's emerging. And then to be able to bring someone with Sean Tyler's experience level in, who's a different style of back, more of a slasher type, lots of breakaway runs at Western Michigan, explosive. You can get the ball to him in space, but you'll have to probably manage the carries more, where You know, is he going to exceed 20 carries a game? Are you more a running back by committee splitting up reps based on the game plan, based on the matchup? That's how I see the running back room working. But the options that they have available are strong there. And I'm looking forward to, I'm very much looking forward to the developmental track of Darius Taylor and Zach Evans.
Well, you've also got Bryce Williams there as well. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him. He's kind of been a third down back more or less the last couple of seasons, but I want to get your opinion on Jaden Wright, Minnesota's high school running back commit in this 2024 class, someone out of Bishop McNamara. If that high school sounds familiar, it's the same high school as Chris Ottman Bell. And boy, I am so bad at some of these names. I think it's Kekani, Illinois. So Chicago-ish area, the way I understand it, and a bruising back house, 5'10", 220, someone that was at a Gopher camp last July. You and I got to see him live. Mm-hmm. Not every day you get to see a 15-year-old kid at legitimately 220 pounds have 4-2 shuttles like he did at Minnesota's camp that day. That's 220 pounds moving really well laterally. Now, when I look at Jaden Wright, he played on a pretty bad high school team, mm-hmm. One that didn't win many football games. And if you're running back and you're always in a negative game script, it's going to be tough to get the ball a lot. But when I look at Jaden Wright, he kind of gives me Kai Thomas vibes. Now, I know Kai Thomas didn't work out here at Minnesota, but when you look at Jaden Wright, someone that Minnesota got committed back in February, Illinois has subsequently offered, but he's going to remain committed to Minnesota here. Where do you kind of look at the skill set of Jaden Wright?
Yeah, the change of direction was what I noted when I went back through my notes from the camp. For a player with his size profile, he's got good lateral agility. You mentioned that with the testing as well. And when you watch the film, he's one of those backs who's a downhill runner, generates a head of steam and embraces the contact between the tackles and does a good job of maintaining balance to breaking second level tackles. It's one of the first things I look for while watching running backs and any reps, like how many tackles do they break? And he's someone that can muscle through contact, keep his legs moving. And I also saw a couple reps where he's pretty good in pass protection too, where he chipped rushers or squared up against the blitz. And so he's a physical runner with size that you don't see all that often from a running back coming in immediately. So a player who, you know, gives the Gophers a different type of dimension in the running back room, more of a physical runner with good lower body power and physicality. So looking forward to seeing what he can do in the Gopher scheme.
Yeah, and I believe Minnesota's going to try to add one more running back. I'd imagine they're going to go with probably a little bit more of a slender body type who can take one to the house. And no pun intended there, Mr. House. But it's going to be something to where we'll see over the next month here who they get on for official visits. And that kind of leads us into the receiver position, which, again, has seen quite a bit of turnover. You look at guys like Dalen Wright, no longer at Minnesota, now going to be going to TCU. Michael Brown Stevens, South Florida, where he meets up with former Minnesota coach Clay Patterson. And then Ike White is now going to be going to the University of Charlotte. We've talked a lot about on this podcast about Elijah Spencer. We're obviously bullish on him. Corey Crooms as well in the slot. Mm-hmm. But as you kind of continue to see, because this Minnesota receiver room in the last 12 months has been completely, I mean, it's gone through a lot of transformation. How do you kind of assess where you think that receiver room's at right now?
It's diverse, different mix of skill sets, which gives the Gopher coaching staff a lot of different options on how they can draw things up and make stretch defenses out, create space in the passing game. And I look at the growth that Daniel Jackson made because I feel like we spent all the time talking about Crooms and Spencer and the additions there, but Daniel Jackson's made a lot of strides too, just technically. And PJ talked about that throughout the spring, just how he continues to take it to the next level with his game. And he'll be one of the players that complements Spencer and Crooms and Chris Ottman Bell too. I mean, I left spring ball going, Elijah Spencer is one of the best players out there. Like if I had to give, I mean, we only have a few practices, but if I was to give like a spring MVP for what I saw, Elijah Spencer would be near the top of my list, even though he even missed one session that we were at. But the route running ability, the traits that he has, how he moves on the field, what I've watched on film at Charlotte, exactly what the Gophers needed in the receiver room. And then Crooms is a nice compliment because he's sudden and he can get open at the top of routes and give you a dimension in space. So I look forward to seeing the how the passing game is structured to get everyone involved, because you also have Brevin in the tight end room that you can get touches to and really stretch the defense out. So the passing game, I feel confident about the options they have there.
That's where I will continue to bang the drum for anyone who reads anything I write, listens to anything I say about this Gopher team in 2023. This is not the 22 offense where the running back and the offensive line were your strengths. It's going to be flip-flop now towards the quarterback and the pass catchers, because to House's point, I've said it for months now, I think this pass catcher room is as deep as we've seen. Now, it may not have the high-end talent of 2019 with Bateman and Tyler Johnson, but between Daniel Jackson, Elijah Spencer, Corey Crooms, Brevin Spanford, Chris Ottman Bell, if you're wide receiver 6 and 7 or Lameke Brockington and Christian Hoskins, I think you're doing okay. And that's where as Minnesota tries to continue to add to this revamped wide receiver room, the first guy I want to ask you about is from Indiana, a kid by the name of Corey Smith. Minnesota ended up being his first Power 5 offer, I think back in January when they went and saw him live. A kid from Brownsburg, Indiana, that averaged over 20 yards per reception, 6'1", 170 pounds. Now, to me, this is just a guy that is very good in, I would say, a phone booth. He's got great short area quickness, but he's also obviously got enough speed to take the top off the defense to where House, he had 40 receptions as a high school junior, and he averaged over 20 yards per reception on those. So if you had to give people your thoughts on Corey Smith, what would you say?
Sudden route runner, and watching to see the mix of routes that he had, digs, fades, hitches, speed cuts, quick screens, able to create in space, but he moves well out of the break point too. I saw a lot of reps with that where he's gliding out and not slowing down much. That's something that you look for with receivers. He can line inside or out potentially as he develops up and gets in the strength program. But I like the pressure he can put on defenses to hit another gear vertically and then do some things after the catch, because you got to have those players that, you know, they take advantage of defenses, defenders in space and break tackles and extend plays. And so Corey Smith with the sudden route running ability and the short area quickness, like you mentioned, those are a few traits that stood out while I was watching him. And I want to see him in person as well, because I really gain a lot of value from watching receivers in person as well.
Well, one guy I've seen in person a few different times now is the Canadian commit from Minnesota, from Clearwater Academy International, one of House's favorite high schools in Florida, a Winnipeg native. So he's only 6-7 hours away originally. Dallas Sims, a kid who's 6'2", 195 pounds. When you look at the receiver room for Minnesota, I hate to kind of simplify it this much, they're not very tall, especially without Dalen Wright. I think there's a realistic spot where Dallas Sims might be, I'm thinking just off the top of my head here, him and probably Kenrick Lanier would be competing to be the two tallest guys in the room. But I think there's a lot to be said about a guy that can come in and be more of a possession type of receiver and be able to win 50-50 balls, because we've seen how valuable that is with a guy like Chris Ottman Bell in his Gopher career. But I'm a fan of Dallas Sims. I've seen him a few different times. There's a reason he almost has 20 offers to me. Chose Minnesota in late March. But when you see Dallas Sims and you saw him on tape, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, different dimension of skill set, which is important to have receivers. I like to call it a toolbox, where you have different projects you got to do and you need different tools to do them. And there's certain matchups when you're playing football that you got to have receivers that can exploit what the defense is doing. And having someone like Dallas Sims, who's a physical type with big size, it's very helpful. He's athletic. I thought he did a nice job off speed cuts and corner routes, getting separation, dropping his weight at the top of routes, accelerating through the break. I see some alignment versatility with him as well, because there are a lot of options when you have that size profile to be more of a power slot option. Defensive backs struggle to bring him down too, because of his size and elusiveness in space. And he read blockers well. He had pretty good field vision, I thought, overall. So, you know, he's one of those players who will, you know, get benefit from being in Minnesota's system, developing up receivers. And like you said, give the Gophers a different type of dimension than they currently have in the receiver room, which I feel like, you know, you want to have a mix when you can. It's not like an end-all be-all, but when you can find physical bigger receivers who are athletic, they add another dimension to the receiver room.
Now, as we transition to tight end, I think Minnesota is going to have one of the best tight ends in the country in Brevin Spanford this fall. You also have Nick Kallerup. You also have, I think they're going to try to mix in more of Jameson Gears in his third year as well. But as you try to continue to diversify and add talented 6'4 plus kids to a tight end room, I think one of my favorite commits in this class so far, and I think as I look at the composite ratings, he's actually somehow the lowest. He's also the most recent. Is a kid from Aurora, Illinois, by the name of Julian Johnson. And what folks need to know here is, I'll tell you right now, he's probably the hottest recruit, at least as a tight end or a big athlete in the Midwest in the last month. Here are some of the offers he's gained in the last month. Minnesota, Kansas State seemingly seems to be a pretty good program. Sources tell me under Chris Klieman, Texas A&M, Missouri, Boston College, Iowa, who, by the way, is incredibly angry that Julian Johnson elected to commit to Minnesota. I can verify that from about three different people. And I know that they're going to try to remain on him until National Signing Day. Julian told me, as you can go read on Gopher Illustrated, he is done with the recruiting process. But he's got a plethora of Power 5 offers, and he elected last night, actually, to announce his commitment to Minnesota. But, and so, House, when I put on the tape, 6'4 plus, great length, great athleticism, and he's only, say, 220 pounds. He has a frame to easily get to 250. And when you're that big, that long, and that athletic, you're going to have the suitors that he had. So other than a great recruiting victory for Minnesota, what do you think about Julian Johnson?
Well, first off, love the name. Julian Johnson just rattles off very nicely. It moves up to the top of the name rankings for the Gophers. But Julian Johnson, big target, athletic, projecting out, looking at what he can be, like you said, getting stronger, adding additional weight. But when you already have the athletic traits and the frame, 6'5" size, ability to make plays in space, flexing out, moving all over, which that's an important component in this landscape of college football. You need a tight end that can move to different spots and line up in different places, because you can get into a lot of different formations, spread the defense out, create mismatches. So Johnson's skill set in that sense is great. I also like tight ends that play defensive end as well, because there's a certain component, some of the things that you do on that side and the traits that you can see from a player when they play defensive end and convert over to tight end are valuable, which I wrote about on the site you can check out. But a player that I feel watching him is this sending player who hasn't tapped into full potential yet.
100%.
But is someone, when you get into the senior year here, he'll be a fascinating study, because what type of growth has he made since he last played football? And is someone I believe Minnesota was smart to get in on the ground floor of before that potential leap happens.
Well, that's where he's got the positional versatility to play tight end or defensive end. Now, Minnesota sees him as a tight end. Iowa sees him on either side of the ball. But I don't want this to turn into an Iowa knows what they're doing podcast. But if there were two positions I probably trust Iowa evaluations at, I know for dang sure it's not receiver, but it is tight end and it is defensive line, where they have been very good at churning out a lot of bodies. And like I said, Iowa really wanted this guy and ended up deciding that after an April visit, and which landed him an offer after he visited this past fall for one of the games, he decided to become a Golden Gopher. So it is wild to me that via the composite, he is the lowest of all the commits, because I think he might have the highest ceiling of anyone that Minnesota's got committed so far. But someone that I think House and I agree we're very bullish on. Now, at offensive line, there isn't a ton to talk about. The only transfer out that off the top of my head would be Cameron James, who was a freshman offensive lineman, went to Jackson State. Minnesota doesn't have currently anyone committed in their high school O-line class. They also don't have anybody currently committed in the transfer. So we're going to continue to transition to defensive line, where, boy, oh, boy, it's been a little different. There's a lot of high school kids to talk about. Now, folks will remember that Trill Carter ended up hitting the transfer portal, I think, after practice two or three. He's now going to the University of Texas. You also look at someone like Gage Keys and Austin Booker are with Jim Panagos, former Minnesota defensive line coach at Kansas. Minnesota brought in Chris Collins, trying to provide some rush end depth for Danny Strigoi, and then he goes down with an ankle injury and misses the entire spring, which is obviously not great for Chris Collins or Minnesota because they really don't know what he can do yet. But there is, you know, for as much transition, and I would also say Lorenzo Sergers, who Minnesota brought in from Vanderbilt last year, ended up hitting the portal, and he just announced today he's just going to hang up the cleats. So he and Ryan Stapp have just decided, I probably don't have a future in the National Football League, so probably best to just move on with life. So as we, let's keep with the portal to start. You and I saw Chris Collins, but he was on a scooter for largely the entire time that we were able to see him. So for when you were able to look at his time at North Carolina, where he did play, I think, over 1,000 snaps for the Tar Heels throughout the last four seasons, what do you think he can provide in terms of a guy behind Danny Strigoi? Because I think we both agree there needs to be some immediate depth there for Minnesota at rush end.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get a chance to see him in the spring, which I was looking forward to getting eval just on what type of skill set he had. But looking at his experience level, like you mentioned, coming in here with a ton of snaps, playing in the ACC, and, I know there are some things that North Carolina does schematically that, you know, Minnesota might do differently with Chris that may suit his strengths better. I know Joe Rossi talked about that with us at one point, that felt like there was some untapped potential that they could maybe suit better in the scheme here in Minnesota. So, Chris Collins, I'm looking forward to getting a chance to see him during fall camp and have a better in-person eval, because I tell you, you could see some stuff on film, but it all comes down to watching that player at field level and getting a vibe of what style they are.
So that leads us into the three defensive line commits that Minnesota has. And I'm a big fan of all three. I think we'll lead with the pride of Kindred, North Dakota, the number one kid in the state of North Dakota for back-to-back seasons, is now committed and will likely sign with the University of Minnesota, Riley Sunrum. Now, House, you and I are usually at every Gopher prospect camp in June and July, and we've seen a lot of kids with a lot of offers come to camp, and it's been, I don't know. I don't know that kid is, worth those. And then I remember being in that July camp with you last season, where Riley Sunrum comes in at a padded camp, and as a high school sophomore, it was one of the, I've been going to Minnesota camps now for, I think, 12 years. It's one of the best lineman performances I've seen. And I think, let alone just in performance, yes, in terms of what he was able to do in the reps, but Fleck was on him about, he did three reps in a row against quality competition. You're going again. You're going again. You're going again. And you can tell he's dog tired, but he's continuing to go out there, continuing to win reps. A kid that's 6'4", 295 pounds, had offers from places like Nebraska, Miami of Florida, Kansas State, among others. Someone that here in the spring, House, I know you and I are big into, especially for linemen, if they do track, how are they throwing it? Well, yesterday he threw a shot 58 feet, 5 inches. Pretty dang good. A big, strong kid that has, I guess, positional versatility on offense or defense. He's going to be a defensive tackle for Minnesota. What do you think about Riley Sunrum and the potential that he has for Joe Rossi's defense?
Yeah, last July I left the camp and thought he was the best player out there.
And he didn't have a single – he might have had, I think, North Dakota and North Dakota State at the time.
Yeah, I remember going back home, and I was talking about Sunrum saying, wow, Minnesota definitely wants to target him. I view him as a very good three technique, just based off what I saw on evaluation, the lateral quickness, explosiveness, ability to work a gap. The flexibility is a big component of that. I saw those traits while I watched him live. And you mentioned the shot put, discus and javelin background, plays basketball. So he's got background in multiple different sports, just athletic. And during the one-on-one drills, you saw some of that athletic ability, the hand technique, length, athleticism, and competing hard in the reps. That's what I always look for when I go to these camps, is how does a guy compete? Does he respond to coaching? What's his body language like? How is he walking around during reps? I don't know. I'm just obsessive about how people interact. Do they lead? What do they look like? And Sunrum checked that box along with the traits and everything that you're looking for as a projected out three technique defensive tackle, which I think is where he could be. But he also has alignment of versatility, like a lot of these targets that the Gophers have landed on the defensive line in this recruiting class, which is huge when you're building defensive game plans and you have defensive linemen that can move all over and do different things for you, especially when you get to passing downs.
Yeah, he's someone that I think via the composite is the highest rated kid in the class right now here at 24/7 Sports. We got him as the number one kid in North Dakota at an 89 rating, so just one little point there away from a four-star, someone that I know that Alan True, our Midwest analyst, certainly has on the four-star watch list for when that early tape starts to come in and see if, again, 58 feet as a high school junior is, I think I looked that up today. It would be the number one mark of any kid in Minnesota for that age range as well, which leads us into the two Minnesota commits. And one that actually tweeted out yesterday, "Hey, everybody's still trying to recruit me. I'm 1,000% set to Minnesota," from Prior Lake, a spot that has been pretty good to Minnesota the last couple seasons. Jahdae Abasiri, someone that held, again, quite a few offers, places like Kansas State. Again, that is a good offer now, folks. It's even weird to say that. Or even Kansas, Washington, places like that. But, House, if when you look at, you know, it's weird to say this about, and I understand now that I'm a married man and my that's 30 years old. If you want to talk about, quote, unquote, prettiest looking kids in this class, they don't, at 6'5", 265, the length and the athletic profile that a young man like this has, there's a reason that Notre Dame had him on campus in January. They don't look like this too often coming out of the state of Minnesota. So when they do, it's got to be something to where Minnesota's got to make an early decision on in terms of, am I going to go after this guy? Am I not? And Minnesota did. They're able to get him committed. Now there's a rival school potentially that is trying to cause a little bit of ruckus there, but that's why Jahdae ended up allegedly putting out that tweet. That's all I'll say there. So when you look at Jahdae Abasiri, the tape has definitely got some places to grow, but mm-hmm. I think when you look at why is Minnesota so interested in this guy, why is so many of these programs that are consistently winning games offering a kid like this, it's the ceiling, which I think you could argue is arguably the highest we've seen from a defensive lineman since probably Devin Eastern in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, and projection is such a huge component of evaluating players at any level. What are they doing? How can they get there? What traits do they have? What areas can you coach up? And you pull up Jahdae Abasiri and you say, all right, length, lower body explosiveness, frame that can continue to get stronger, still learning all the technical components, but a versatile player in the future who could kick inside on pass rushing downs, do a lot of different things mismatch wise. He's also on the wrestling team, and he joined, I think, last year on the wrestling team and ended up being like the 8th ranked wrestler, which I've always said wrestling backgrounds with defensive linemen is such a big, big added bonus.
And Danny Strigow says hi.
Danny Strigow. I remember when they took Danny Strigow. That was a day where I said, great move. But Abasiri, he, like you said, one of those players that you're projecting out, looking at traits and saying, all right, definitely a ton of potential to maximize once you get him the strength program, coach him up on the technique and develop. But Minnesota's showing the ability to do that, where they take players that come in here with the traits. By the time they're done, they're developed up, and you're seeing it with the NFL draft here. So he's the latest player who, I mean, you sit down and watch. I went and watched all the Minnesota guys, and then I went and watched some of the other targets, and he was right at the top of the list with the Esco safety, Coy. Those two were right at the top when I got done doing that because I like them both.
Last commit here so far in the defensive line class for Minnesota, most sane, Eden Prairie's own, someone mm-hmm. that had been to campus, I think, four different times in the spring before Minnesota actually pulled the trigger on an offer. They were able to get him committed. Again, looking at an offer list that it sounds very familiar, Kansas State, Iowa State. I think there's a Arizona State, potentially a Washington in there. But again, we're talking about a kid who's 6'4 plus, 270 pounds with great length. And as we continue to look around the Big Ten, I think the theme that everybody should be kind of looking for here is, what is Minnesota and Joe Rossi looking for in their defensive linemen? They're looking at the measurables. They're looking at the 6'4 with great length, and you better have some twitch. Now, when you look at Mo Sane's junior campaign, what stood out to you about his tape at Eden Prairie?
Yeah, 82-inch wingspan immediately jumped out. Ability to get underneath blockers, extend.
82-inch, by the way, for those of you who have a tough time doing math, I believe that is a 6'10 wingspan, House.
Yeah, and it's the first thing you notice when you start watching him. Brings versatility, played a few different alignments within within the defensive scheme. Gets inside hand position, and he can lock you up, stack, and shed through blocks. I liked his effort, too. Something that you look for when watching these defensive linemen, especially interior players, is how hard do they compete. And there were tons of reps where he got out toward the perimeter, off the backside, making plays. I see a developmental frame that can continue to grow over the next few years, develop a pass rushing arsenal with Winston and the staff. But you mentioned it, Minnesota is clearly targeting versatile, long, athletic, explosive developmental frame defensive linemen who can move between alignments, because it opens up so many possibilities. And tell you what, pass rush is I still stand on this hill that pass rush is the most important aspect of defensive success at any level, and it has a ripple effect on every element of defensive play. So prioritizing the defensive line with these type of skill sets should be very beneficial.
Well, that's the beauty of looking across those guys. I think that Riley Sunrum, probably a three technique or a one, so he's going to be inside. But you look at Mo Sane and you look at Jadae Abusiri, you could have them be in a Sezio Tomiwu type. You could have them slide into three technique. Again, I think Jadae is probably more set on being outside in terms of that Asezi body type, whereas Mo Sane's probably going to be another three or a one technique, depending upon how their body grows. But versatility, I think, is certainly being emphasized there so far, which leads us into linebacker, where transfer portal giveth and the transfer portal taketh away, and it taketh away any sort of depth that Minnesota had at linebacker, where Donald Willis elected to hit the portal. Minnesota's essentially made a trade where it's going to be Donald Willis going to Western Michigan, and Western Michigan sends back Ryan Selig. And then Braylon Oliver also hits the portal and is going home to Georgia, where he's going to be a Georgia Tech football player this fall. So when you look at what we saw from the limited reps you saw of Ryan Selig, the Western Michigan transfer Minnesota took, what stood out?
Yeah, limited amount of reps, but from what I saw at Western, was a big threat as a blitzer, which stood out, and the ability to show, you know, move side to side range and make impactful tackles, which the numbers very, very much liked his ability to impact games and result in negative plays for the offense. I want to see a linebacker play is so hard to evaluate without it's, much contact.
For you and I in the spring, it is the number one toughest thing for us to try and do. Because you know what they don't do with the practices, House and I and the media is at? They don't tackle. You know what linebackers tend to usually do and how we kind of measure them? How do they get off how do they get off blocks, and how do they make tackles? So it's very tough for House and I to kind of evaluate a guy like Ryan Selig and the other linebackers. But House, it's I feel like it is stole your thunder.
Yeah, I mean, one of those things where I always say, talk to me after a few contact practices we get in fall camp where I can see them compete. The roster's complete. They've gone through the coaching, which, you know, the spring's all about development and teaching the technique, seeing how players respond to coaching. And then you translate and apply that in the fall. And so Selig has experience, you know, the limited sample size that we saw, but, you know, bring in that room together with Maverick Baranowski, who I think has a very high ceiling, rangy, got stronger, very instinctive, stood out during the spring game, other sessions that we were at, always around the football. And he already did as a true freshman, but the leap that he's made physically is certainly noticeable. Joey Gerlach, another player who soaks it all in, retains information well, smart, very athletic. I remember watching him at camp. Very impressed with the traits that he had. So Minnesota at linebacker, bringing in Rowan Zolman as well, someone who I look at the film and I see more of a box style safety, but the traits translate, especially in high school, that's what he did, more of a linebacker type with the range, the physicality. So the transition won't be too difficult. He's got a long frame. He's good burst downhill and trigger to read and react. So Rowan Zolman should be able to transition quite well to that linebacker spot.
Well, you stole my thunder there with, I was going to bring up one of the additions Minnesota's made since the end of spring practice is a kid from Miami of Ohio, who is a true freshman last fall, I think played quite a bit. I think he played in four games so he could retain his red shirt. If my memory serves correctly, a kid that is 6'4", 210 pounds and played safety. And you're thinking, so that's an awfully big safety. And you're thinking to yourself, well, Minnesota took a kid from Miami of Ohio. What's the connection? Well, Minnesota hired an offensive analyst by the name of Eric Kaler. And you're thinking to yourself, the former University of Minnesota president. And my answer to you is good guess, but no. Different spelling of the last name, same enunciation. And it sounds like he stood on the table pretty good, that this kid is a heck of an athlete. And when you look at Minnesota trying to get some depth, and competition for Joey Gerlach at that Sam position, maybe he's also got some versatility to help you at nickel, depending upon if Craig McDonald's waiver potentially gets passed by the NCAA for immediate eligibility. But again, a big athletic body where had great track times. And I guess, again, we'll see how that all kind of how he looks in terms of, I think he was 215 pounds when Minnesota had him on his visit here in the last few weeks. Well, how much weight does he add in the next 2-3 months before fall camp begins? Is he 225 to 230? Is he still hovering around 215? I think we'll kind of determine where Minnesota will deploy him this fall. And then high school linebacker wise, I feel like with Mason Carrier from Detroit Lakes, I feel like I've been talking about him for years now. Because the first time I ever saw Mason Carrier was at a prep red zone camp, and I'm watching him do drills, and he hasn't done testing yet. I'm like, this kid, this is what it looks like. And then he goes out and he runs well. 6'2", 225 pounds from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Someone that recently went down to a camp in Kansas City called the UC Report. He was up there for the MVP that day in terms of the linebacker position. House at 225 pounds, he broad jumped 10 feet. Pretty good, pretty athletic. I feel like, again, I've been talking about Mason Carrier for a long time because he's, you know, I feel like the last linebacker that was, one of my guys was Cody Lindenberg. I feel that strong that Mason Carrier is going to make an impact sooner than later as a Golden Gopher. But when you put on the tape, and you've also seen Carrier at camp with me, what stands out?
Lateral quickness, 90th plus percentile shuttle time, the broad jump, the flexibility trait, which those are a couple of important things to look at for linebackers, and the range on film is noticeable as well. And he played in a rush-heavy style of football up there, so he didn't get a chance to showcase those coverage skills that much, but then when you get him up in the drills and see what he can do at camps, he showed that he can definitely handle that and has the athleticism, checks all those boxes, and, you know, will continue to learn the technique of block deconstruction and all the things that go into linebacker play. Smart 4.0 GPA, and has been a spirited voice recruiting other players to come to Minnesota as well, because he was one of the first commits. And now he's made it known, hey, come to Minnesota. Been an active recruiter in that sense as well. So fits the profile of linebacker that Joe Rossi's looking for, certainly checks that box, and is someone that Minnesota is excited about.
Another guy that really fits, I think, what Rossi's looking for at linebacker moving forward is Brady Pretzlaff. 6'3", very long, from Gaylord, Michigan, not exactly in the biggest of towns. Now I know that, again, I put on the tape, I see this sideline to sideline athleticism. I see the length. Someone that when he committed to Minnesota chose them over Illinois, which I think Illinois is a pretty good – I think they're going to be one of the schools where, you look at the amount of draft picks that they just had. I think they know how to coach him up. And he subsequently also picked up a Stanford offer, but he is going to remain with Minnesota. So when you look at Brady Pretzlaff from Gaylord, Michigan, someone again, 6'3", 215, what stands out to you?
Yeah, length, physicality, movement skills, slid between blocks, fit the run in the backfield a lot. I also liked what I saw from him when he was playing tight end too, which gives you a sense of how players move and is important. I actually put a lot of stock in players who are playing other positions and watching how they do in that role. And so that was something I noted as well. Coverage standpoint, able to drop into underneath zones, and that's important within Minnesota's defensive scheme. Blitz reps, he got downhill quickly, ripped through blocks. Long arms, frame to continue adding strength, checks, again, all the boxes that Minnesota values when looking for linebackers. And so Pretzlaff is a player that I'm intrigued to get a look at, especially in person here.
I want to slide us into nickel now, where, again, it's de facto third linebacker, especially with the bodies that Minnesota now has accumulated at this position. You look at who transferred out, Flip Dixon, elected to head to Rutgers to head up with his former position coach, Joe Harris-Simiak. Jalen Glaze, I guess I'll kind of put into there as well, someone that is now at FAU. And then Miles Fleming also hit the portal, which means there it was Jack Henderson, our guy, the Henderson Hive committee. You're staring at him or you're listening to them. I think House and I are very bullish, and we spent a lot of time on that last episode about why we like Jack Henderson so much. But here in the last week, Minnesota has elected to bring in a backup nickel, or at least another nickel body there. And he's hashtag one of us from Minnehaha Academy, formerly of Iowa State, formerly of the Auburn Tigers as well. Craig McDonald is going to be coming back home to Minnesota. Now we're going to have to find out and see Minnesota is going to submit a waiver to see if they can't get him eligible this fall. But when you look at Craig McDonald, again, in 2020 as a true freshman, played in a handful of games in the COVID season. But in that second year for him at Iowa State, the only season where he got significant action because an ankle injury, I believe, shut down his Auburn career really before it started. What stood out to you about evaluating Craig McDonald, what he can potentially provide for Minnesota in the slot?
Versatile player who can move to different places if you need it, but has the physicality to fit the run, which is something you have to be able to do within Joe Rossi's scheme as a nickel, to have the physicality to hold up. I like the fact he's played in multiple defensive schemes. Iowa State ran a 3-3-5, so he's moving around quite a bit. Got some experience aligning over the slot, free safety in the box. And the Gophers need this type of experience and versatility. We'll see if he gets the waiver. But, you know, the ability to potentially even – I look at him and watch the Minnehaha Academy film and see what he can do on the outside. He has experience as a pure cornerback as well. So if something happened where you had an injury pop and you're down the depth chart and you need somebody, he has that versatility to go all over the place. Safety, nickel, outside corner, all over the place because of his background. And you aren't going to have to get, you know, the mental side of the speed of the game. He played at Auburn and Iowa State in the Big 12 and the SECs, learned a couple of defensive schemes. So coming in here, he's someone that Rossi and Nick Monroe and Danny can all work together developing and maybe unlock some untapped potential there.
Well, yeah, I don't think I have much more to add there, which kind of leads us into safety where, again, Craig may be able to provide, but again, I've only really heard nickel there. You look at who transferred out besides Jalen Glaze, besides Flip Dixon, Steven Ortiz is going to UMass. Minnesota didn't bring any transfer safeties, but I mean, we could make the argument this is the two best on paper, and I would also argue on film safeties that Minnesota has had committed in the Fleck era, if not the amount of time that you and I have been paying attention to Gopher football. And I want to start with the pride of Trinity Episcopal School in Richmond, Virginia, Zahir Rainier. 31 offers, chose Minnesota over places like, let's say Stanford, Virginia Tech, among many others. Someone that, how does Minnesota land a kid like that with that many offers, committable offers at that from the state of Virginia? It helps when his idol is a young man by the name of Antoine Winfield Jr. Because mm-hmm. the Huronir is not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10", 185. So who does he emulate? Probably a guy who's about to get a gaudy second contract somewhere in Antoine Winfield Jr. So when Minnesota started recruiting him, it immediately got his attention. And now he is committed to the University of Minnesota. So when you look at Zaheer's film, what stands out?
Versatile, explosive, instinctive DB with good physicality, read routes, anticipated, disrupted passing lanes, sniffed out some screens, and really had a physical presence. He'd break on the ball and drive and lay big hits over the middle, put pressure on opponents as a blitzer off the edge, can move him all over the place. You mentioned Antoine Winfield Jr., like the type of skill set where you can draw up different things that suit his strengths, and it adds another dimension to your defensive scheme. He's someone, you know, he'll play safety and come down into the nickel occasionally if you want. That type of versatility, again, mm-hmm. relentless playing style. You instantly notice it while you watch him play. And I see acceleration, deceleration, been studying that a lot in defensive backs, and certainly noticed that while watching him. I was impressed with his film. He's got NFL bloodlines. His dad, Wally, played linebacker, Virginia, fourth round pick in the 99 draft. So I really like
8 years in the NFL is the icing on top of the cake here, because to your point, I think there's just so much positional versatility. You can potentially have him at free, where the last two safeties there, pretty good players I hear in Winfield and Tyler Newbin, or you could have mm-hmm. him strong. You can move him down to the nickel, but I think whatever gets him onto the field first is where he's going to want to play. And then that leads us into the pride of Esko, Minnesota. Now, I've been doing this a long time, House.
Mm-hmm.
12 years. I don't know when the last time was. Now, again, I know Esko isn't technically the North Shore. It's not technically anywhere because it's just south of Duluth. But I don't know when the last time was a Duluth area kid got as much recruiting attention as Coy did in terms of committable offers from Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa, among others. And how does a kid from Esko, Minnesota get that? Well, it helps when you're 6'1". It helps when you are an outstanding overall athlete. It helps, again, we have him as a 4-star on 24/7 Sports. I feel really good about that. You know, as a sophomore last year, he won the state long jump in Class A. He ran in a 10-8, 100 meters so far this spring on the basketball court. He averages over 20 a game, and if you go to his social media, he's dunking on kids left and right. And then you put on the tape, which, again, probably the most important of all of it. House, you can watch 5 minutes of tape, of his highlight tape, and still be going, good googly moogly. I mean, this is just a really good all-around athlete, and for Minnesota being able to keep him home is very, very important.
Yeah, and you watch film. I sit down and watch players, and you go, okay, developmental potential, upside. But then there are certain players where I watch them and I go, okay, I definitely see you. And Coy checked that box for me. Everywhere. I mean, you watch him, versatile, wide receiver, running back, safety, returning kicks and punts, the basketball stuff. Then you dive into the testing and see high percentile athletic testing from the numbers that we have. And, you know, the straight line speed, the short area quickness, accelerating, decelerating, getting downhill and triggering, making physical plays. He's the type of player who can play the deep half, come down into the box, blitz from different places. I was pretty impressed with his block deconstruction at times too, finding the ball carrier. And he has that speed to make a late coverage rotation and cause some havoc in that sense too. So, again, the theme that I have developed throughout watching Minnesota put this class together is versatility, length, speed, checking the boxes from a trait standpoint, and finding players who can do a lot of different things within the scheme, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which, I mean, there's a ton of upside with many of these players, and Coy's at the top of the list because, it's like I said, Coy and Abasiri were right at the top when I was watching players.
That leads us into our final position for this podcast, and that's going to be the cornerback room, where I had a guy recently ask me, what position do you feel not the best about right now? We have the most question marks. I would still say it's corner, because you look at Terrell Smith's now in the NFL. You have Justin Wally there, who are you and I are both very bullish on, but It's Beanie Bishop deciding to go to West Virginia. It's Ryan Stapp electing to hang up the cleats. Not a lot of depth there, because that leaves you essentially with two second-year guys and Riley Kelly and Tariq Watson, who I think we both like, spent time on the last episode talking about them. But one of the guys that Minnesota has brought in thus far, and they just got committed on a visit, and Elon, one of your favorite North Carolina schools, an Elon cornerback by the name of Trayvon Jones, someone that played a lot of football for Elon the last few seasons. I know someone that at 6 foot has a lot of length, has played a lot of football. What stands out to you about Trayvon Jones?
Well, Elon, the pride of all Ali Udo, I instantly said, well, I do know one player from Elon, and it's Ali Udo. But Trayvon Jones, physicality, versatility. I like how this guy tackles. He burst downhill, did well playing zone, being able to have that reactive athleticism to break on the ball. But when he's bursting downhill to make run stops, he can trigger and make a physical play, fundamentally sound tackling. He only gave up 61 yards after the catch last year, which is 22nd among 220 FCS cornerbacks. Hit some of the benchmarks that I look for in transfer defensive backs. There's some things that every successful transfer DB sort of has that I've found and discovered that he checks those boxes. So I look forward to seeing what type of role he has. He can play on the outside. I also see some inside potential as well, just because of his physicality. So again, versatility is a big deal to have someone who can move around and do different things depending on, because you know, you'll have people get hurt. You have situations that arise. So you want to have players who have versatility. And I see that with him.
And I think both House and I anticipate Minnesota adding it with their last, I think, scholarship open on the 85. Another transfer corner they had, Ole Miss corner Markavius Brown, visit this last weekend. We're still waiting to see what he decides, but the other guy I think folks should know would be Georgia Southern. I think graduate transfer, just graduated today, actually, in Tyler Bride. So if Markavius does indeed to decide to come to Minnesota House, I look at him, 18 games played in his first 2 years in the SEC at Ole Miss. Usually that tends to usually translate well to other, obviously, Power 2 conferences like the Big Ten. So when you look at Markavius Brown's tape, or at least from what you know about him, what stands out?
Very good coverage skills. Press a man, coverage reps where he's tightly mirroring defense wide receivers and compressing space, making it tough for them to get position. He accelerates and moves very well. Smooth mover was one of the notes that I had while watching him. And, you know, he can make mid-air adjustments, attacking the ball in traffic. And, I mean, you said it best, playing in the SEC in a 3-2-6 defensive scheme, has reps on the outside, bulk of them are flexibility, hip turn, fluid mover. That's what you're looking for. He's a cover type of corner, different dimension of skill set from, like, even a Jones or of the other players that Minnesota has brought in. He is a very solid cover corner and would get a ton of reps here. I see him as an outstanding fit. He should definitely be one of the top priorities, I'd say.
Well, the last high school commit we'll talk about today is from the pride of the East Side. Well, actually, I wouldn't say that, as someone from the East Side. The pride of Maplewood. From Hill Murray High School, the arch rival of my own Tartan High School, Hill Murray. And Simon Seidel, and someone that I, again, we've talked a lot about multi-sport athletes for these Minnesota commits thus far. And I think you could put Simon potentially in that top tier of what they have committed, because not only is he a standout football player, he's one of the best hockey players on his team. That Hill Murray hockey, if you know anything about the state of Minnesota, very good. How good is he? Well, I mean, he plays very regularly for them, scored 2 goals in the final consolation championship game just this past winter. And, oh, by the way, if he were to decide to run track again as a sophomore, I think he ran an 11.0 100-meter time as a sophomore. Now, he didn't run track here this spring, but at 5'11", being able to be a very good hand-eye coordination and just speed athlete, you're certainly getting that in Simon Seidel. And who is he coached by at Hill Murray High School? Well, it's a former Jerry Kill coach, and Rob Reeves, who is a longtime Gopher tight end coach. I know he thinks very highly of him, thinks he's definitely a Big Ten athlete as well. So for Simon House, how do you see it?
Simon is one of the most intriguing players that I have watched in the time that I've been doing this. So I guess that's 9 or 10 years now. I instantly saw something in this player that I'm like, the speed, the upside, the explosiveness. Love the wide receiver background. And that's something that I've spent a lot of time looking into. He showed all the traits that you're looking for. It translate over to the other side of the ball and the feel and the instincts associated with that position. He's raw technically, needs to learn all the different things, and he will continue to get better. But he has all of the traits that you're looking for. And I have been trying to study players who play hockey and our defensive backs, and I'm still searching. I will find.
I was about to say, I don't think your pool there for candidates is very high, House.
It isn't, and I want to know, like, the balance, the knee bend, the lower body stability, the power that's required for hockey. It has to translate very well to the cornerback position and the things that are required for that, you know, with the stance and the ability to turn and, you know, be flexible and move and mirror and match wide receiver. So Seidel has so many intriguing traits. I, like I said, one of the more intriguing players that I have studied, and I want to see where he's at when he gets some coaching in the program here.
Well, as we currently sit here in time, I think Minnesota's got the number 14 ranked class. Now, obviously I don't think it will stay there, but I think the point remains, to me, the overarching view of this class so far, House, is the number of Plan A guys that Minnesota's already got committed here by mid-May, and the way that college football is evolving in my eyes, it's getting a lot faster, a lot more athletic, it's a lot longer, and I look at this class, there's a lot of those same traits amongst them. I mean, I think when this is said and done, this could be arguably Fleck's most athletically gifted class in his 7 years here.
Yeah, I view the game in through a lens where I see multidimensional football becoming a major thing. I wrote about that on the website, my philosophy behind it, but it's all about creating space in the passing game and restricting space defensively. And you have to build a roster with versatile athletic trait players who you can use in a variety of different ways and give you the depth and the potential to, you know, build. It's so tough to build a roster in this landscape, and to be able to have players who can fill different roles based on maybe players that depart, they have the experience to slide into a different position. I feel the secret sauce right now for teams is to take the most versatile players that you can, because it gives you flexibility in the event people transfer down the road. It sets you up for success. And so that's something that I see Minnesota doing. We set it long, athletic, developmental frame, defensive lineman, rangy, instinctive, explosive safeties with good athletic profiles and versatility. Different mix of two different receivers with styles there. We'll see what they do with that room here, you know, moving forward. And linebackers with good length, movement skills, and range, like, checking those boxes that Minnesota clearly looks for in prospects. So I see that strategy paying off in a big way.
Well, I think this is going to about wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. Like House and I talked about, or at least I alluded to or hinted at, I do think that there are some balls in the air yet to where I could see more additions to Minnesota's either transfer class or their high school class here in the next week. I highly encourage you to check out GopherIllustrated.com. It's $1 to join. Or you can also head on over to GophersGuru.com to listen. You've just spent an hour listening to the guru himself. House, I think one of the questions I probably get asked most is, what would it take for House to come on over to Gopher Illustrated? I'm going to have this on the podcast so you know again, as I've told you many times, the offer's out there for you to come over, but I know sooner rather than later, potentially, you are going to be running your own front office and you want that flexibility. So just for the record's sake, House, whenever you feel like come on over, even though a front office in either the college football landscape or in the NFL should hire you immediately, the offer is there, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm just going to keep working hard. We'll see what happens. Take it day by day.
Thank you, PJ Fleck, for that at the end there. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. House, I want to thank you again, and I'll see you at a camp here soon.
See you soon, man.